If the term rare earths is not familiar to you, the high-tech devices that depend on them are. From the earbuds for your cell phone to advanced medical devices like MRIs and new technologies such as wind turbines, magnetic refrigeration, and electric cars.
For example, we are using them right now because they make very good, very strong, small magnets, so they are useful in microphones.
That's Neil Johnson, geology professor at Virginia Tech.
The elements themselves are not rare. They actually are much more common than elements like gold or platinum. The problem is that they're rarely concentrated.
And that often makes them difficult and expensive to mine. But the unique magnetic properties of rare earths also makes them seem almost magical. To demonstrate, Johnson first pulls some typical ceramic magnets out of his pocket and slowly moves them closer together.
You hold it here and it will jump, but they're straightforward to pull apart. Now, the rare earth magnets,
which are about half the size of the ceramics,
you can't pull apart. What you have to do is slide them, because they hold together so tightly.
Even then, it's not easy. They're so powerful, you could be seriously injured if you caught your finger between them.
And it's because these magnets are so incredibly strong for their size. You can make electronics with very powerful magnets that are much, much tinier than you can with other types of things.
On a Saturday afternoon, Johnson is searching for rare earth minerals, not underground, but at the Roanoke Valley Gem and Mineral Society show in the Salem Civic Center. He peruses rows of tables and glass showcases, displaying eye-catching geodes, glittering crystals, and beautiful jewelry. Finally, he sets his sights on a humble-looking small black stone.
And what we have here is from mountains in Pakistan. This is a sample of bastnasite. Now, it will almost certainly have all of the other rare earths in it as well.
Looks like something you'd pass on the street if you saw it, but not if you also saw the price tag, which reads $200. And even though it's from Pakistan,
it will give us some of the data that we could use to see if there are deposits of these types of things in the southeast.
If it checks out, Johnson will send the data to U.S. Geological Survey researcher Nora Foley. Foley did her undergraduate and Ph.D. at Virginia Tech, and she's now based in Reston, Virginia, where she's leading the search for rare earths in the southeast.
The reason that we're looking at some of the sites in Virginia is because there's a type of granite that occurs throughout the Blue Ridge that tends to have relatively high amounts of all the rare earths in the granite itself.
At a recent meeting of the U.S. Geological Survey held at Virginia Tech, Foley's presentation about the possibility of rare earths around here started a buzz. When more questions about this potential source are answered, says Neil Johnson, the issue will become, how do you go about mining it?
But that's, of course, is the gorilla on the horizon, if you will, because any type of extraction operation in areas as populated as the southeast is going to receive some kind of pushback.
In part two of this report, we'll hear why scientists think the southeastern United States could become a source for the rare earth minerals that are in such great demand all over the world, and what kind of concerns mining for them might raise. I'm Robbie Harris.